Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Reps and the content. So I think this is year 3-4, if I'm not mistaken. And he just looks like he knows he belongs. And I was talking to Andre Iguodala about him today, and Andre said he's one of the hardest working guys he's ever been around. So he's at a really high level.
Looking ahead to tomorrow night, this is not a question I would normally ask, but what would you give to see Daryl Morey's face if Scott Foster walked into the arena?
Oh, man. You know I'm not allowed to comment on stuff like that, right?
Well, yeah, but I thought you'd go at it obliquely because you like to hit the third rail without actually getting electrocuted by it.
That's a good point. That's a good point. $25,000 last week for my outburst in Portland, so I'm on my best
behavior. Hey, Steve, we're having trouble with the connection. Maybe we can try to get a better signal. Is Steve Kerr joining us here on 95.7 The Game? Come on, he's too smart for that, Ray. He's not taking the bait.
Listen, nobody walks right up to the rail and tests it like he does. And it's all usually done with humor, and I'm all for it.
It's always done with humor.
And I'm not trying to get him into it. But I did want to hear him laugh about it because Scott Foster is one of his bete noirs too. And I think he would get a kick out of watching Scott Foster walk into his arena and him having a pretty good feeling about it because of the team they're playing and the results from last night.
Steve Kerr back with us here. Better spot. Appreciate again, Steve, your time. And so we're not getting you in trouble. Ray is just being Ray, and you know Ray. And he likes to be, you know, a disturber. But it certainly was the topic that dominated the NBA today. And what kind of gets lost in as a Laker comeback last night, and they won it, but the frustration from James Harden because he's not used to being in that situation. He shoots more free throws than anybody in the league.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we all get frustrated with the officiating. It's just it's a brutal game to get right, to get everything right. And so every team in the league goes through this at times. And yeah, I mean, I had an outburst last week in Portland that cost me some money. So frustration is part of it, but guys are out there, they're trying hard to do their jobs. But you know, sometimes things get a little out of control.
That said, would you support the idea of Don Nelson becoming the new supervisor of officials?
I would support Don Nelson in any endeavor he chose to embark upon. That guy's figured out life.
Yeah. You just want to get in the real estate business with him.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have been good, too.
Well, the best thing about it is all the businesses he's in, he's only vaguely aware of them at this point.
And yet they're all making a ton of money.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. He was kissed by God.
He looks great too. I know he's got the puka shells going, the long hair.
Oh yeah, I mean
he's living the Aloha lifestyle, Steve.
Yes.
He is America's millionaire vagrant.
We love Nelly.
Oh. Are you at a stage at this point of the season where you start looking at the teams behind you just to see how they're falling as more than just an intellectual curiosity? Or do you sort of laser your focus on the team you've got?
I mean, you definitely follow the standings, you know, and now is about the time you can kind of see, you know, what the picture is becoming clearer, you know, instead of, you know, maybe five possible teams to be playing. It seems to whittle down a little bit as you get into the last 15 games of the season or so. And that's when you start paying more attention to the standings, really, you know, day in and day out. But the focus always remains on our team and what we're doing and what we have to get better with. And I mean, we've got assistant coaches who are all assigned different teams. So Chris DeMarco's got Houston all season long. He's been watching them the last few weeks, and he's got the game plan for tomorrow. But our biggest concern is always ourselves.
Which assistant coach has Phoenix?
I believe Willie Green has Phoenix, and I'm waiting for your snarky response right now.
No, I have none. You answered the question. That's all I needed.
Okay. All right.
Warriors coach Steve Kerr with us here on the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game. And DeMarcus Cousins, and you talked about it before the quote-unquote second half began about upping his minutes. What have you seen from him, Steve, that has him in the position now to give him more time out there on the floor?
Well, I just think he's more and more comfortable each game. I thought he got a little tired before the All-Star break. His shot didn't go down for a couple games, but I thought he looked much smoother last night. It was a small, fast game last night, so we didn't see the minutes go up. But there's going to be other matchups where there's no doubt we're gonna need his size and strength and low post skills, all that stuff. So I just think DeMarcus is more and more comfortable both physically and as far as playing with our guys and our style.
Has he been as patient as you want him to be about his playing time, or has he sort of been that, sort of chafed at the leash? And I hate the analogy, but has he wanted to play more and tried to push to play more?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was not thrilled last night. He wasn't thrilled, before the All-Star break when I would take him out. He wants to play, but that's good. You want guys who want to be out there. And it's not disruptive or anything when he's wanting to stay in. It's just, he's looking at me like, come on, coach, I got more to offer. And I do think as we go, now that we're back off the break, we'll have several games here, this coming week. And I think his conditioning is now at the point where there's no problem. If we needed to get him up into the mid-30s, he's going to be capable of doing that. But, at the same time, it's all about fit and who we're playing and circumstances. And, certain matchups will dictate one lineup and, different circumstances another. I just want him to be ready for everything and comfortable going into the playoffs.
When would you anticipate that you would start thinking about how you want to use your rotation guys between now and the end of the regular season so that everybody is as close as possible to being 100% once the playoffs start? Does that come at 10 games? Does it come at 15? Do you start doing it now?
It never seems to go exactly as you would hope, but I think you always kind of look at the last sort of five or six games of the regular season as your playoff prep, where you're really getting into your rotations, but inevitably something happens, somebody rolls an ankle or whatever, you change the rotation around. And, last year we went into the playoffs and I could not have been more concerned. 7-10 in our last 17 games, our defense was a mess. And from game one on, it's first round, our defense was tremendous in the playoffs last year. So, it doesn't always map out exactly how you think it will, but as long as guys are competing, usually we're in pretty good shape because we got a ton of talent.
Wait, your team has a ton of talent, really?
I don't know if you noticed that, yeah.
I've noticed that from time to time, and they can really shoot the ball, too. That's what I've noticed.
Yeah, but most of it is just me coaching them up.
Well,
there is some talent, too.
It's easy when you have so many gritty little scrappers.
That's what we're all about, just gut it out.
Yep, grinding games out all the time.
That's right.
Hey, the big news recently here in the Bay Area on the sports front is Bruce Bochy announcing his retirement after this season coming up, and he's going out the way he wants to go out. But I know you've spent some time around the Giants. You've gone to some ball games since you've been here. Just what are your thoughts about what Bruce Bochy has done with his long tenure and the three World Series championships he brought to the Giants?
Well, I just admire the way he goes about his business. He's just a very professional, mild-mannered. I know he's got a temper like we all do, but the way he's handled his teams, both the Giants and going back to San Diego, I've always just admired him from afar, and the success that he's helped bring to the Giants is just amazing, and more than likely, you know, Hall of Fame worthy stuff. So it's I'm sad to see Boach go, but I'm happy he's going out on his terms, and hopefully this will be a really good season for him and for the Giants.
This will be 25 years for him. Could you see yourself doing what you're doing for another 20?
No, I don't think so. I'm 53. Yeah, probably not. But you know, when you love what you do, it doesn't feel like work, and I know that feeling. So I don't have any plans to retire anytime soon. But that's a hell of a run. And usually, you know, in this business, you don't get to decide. You know, the employer decides how long your run is, and it's a mark of Boach's excellence that he's basically been able to dictate, you know, his own terms throughout his career. That's how good he is.
Speaking of coaches who've done it for a long time, your college coach, some news, unfortunately, about him recently that he suffered a minor stroke, was in the hospital over the weekend. Have you talked to Coach Olson?
Have not spoken with him, but spoken to family members and people close to him, and obviously keeping a close eye on everything that's going on, and hoping, you know, for the best for Lute. It's it's terrible news, and we're but there's hope, and we're hoping for the best.
Well, I'm going to Tucson on Sunday. Where you believe, Steve, it's snowing in Tucson today?
I know.
How crazy is that?
Today from my mother-in-law lives there, and she sent a video of the snow coming down in front of her house this morning. Crazy.
Well, it had to shut down the city. I mean, if you were back in your college days, if it was snowing in Tucson, what would you have done?
Probably skipped class, but I might have done that anyway.
Yeah, it's nothing's changed then, I guess.
Yeah. He would have taken the beer out of the refrigerator and put it in the snow so that he wouldn't waste the nature.
That's right. No waste of energy.
Hey, Steve, appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us. Have fun tomorrow night when the Rockets are in town.
All right. Thanks, guys.
And say hi to Scott Foster for us.
I will, Ray. Thank you.
Warriors coach Steve Kerr joining us here for his weekly appearance on 95.7 The Game. He wasn't going there.
No, but I didn't need him to. I just, the idea that...
The smile through the phone said enough.
Well, yeah, just because, you know... Typically, you see a specific official that you're not in love with, that's going to make your teeth grind. But I guarantee you the next team that plays Houston on a Scott Foster night is going to feel pretty good about itself.
But every team kind of has that reaction when Scott Foster walks in the building, don't they?
Not when they're playing Houston. Houston has upped the ante here.
Do you think teams are lobbying, hey, Scott Foster should probably make an appearance. We haven't seen him in a while when the Rockets are coming in.
No, unfortunately, for purposes of my amusement, Monty McCutcheon is a pretty straight shooter. And I don't think he's going to change Scott Foster's schedule to either irritate Houston or give Houston a break. But I wish he would. I really wish he just, you know.
The NBA wants some good drama. They want some good buildup.
Oh,
that's all they got to do.
I mean, basically, just go, Tillman Fertitta is the brand new owner of the Houston Rockets. Just to watch him pull his own head off at side center court when Foster comes onto the floor before the game. I mean, I think that would be worth it.
I can't imagine a fan reaction when Foster has that next game there at the Toyota Center.
But you know what? That he's gotten reactions like that in Oakland too.
That's true.
And yet.
Especially after what happened in the playoffs a few years ago.
And yet, they still have a winning record with him, you know, and a wide margin winning record. So, I don't think it's his judgment that pisses people off. I think it's the fact that he's the kind of guy you don't want as your neighbor, but man, you wouldn't mind if he could fix your car.
No, then you wouldn't mind him as your neighbor.
Yeah, but you wouldn't want to talk to him.
Well, he doesn't want to talk to you, so it's even.
So you go next door, you ring the doorbell.
You just wave.
He opens it. He gives you that
snotty look.
And you say, can you fix my car? And he just gives you that big, heavy sigh. He goes in, fixes it, and then walks back in without saying a word.
I'd love to hear if there was a discussion like you needed a good neighbor fence and Scott Foster was your neighbor. How do you think that conversation would go?
You wouldn't need one.
There wouldn't be one.
It would be like Home Improvement.
You walk over Scott Foster. All right, we're going to put up a Good Neighbor fence. You in for half?
Oh, the door's not opening. It's going to be like one of those little speakeasy doors that slides open. All you see is his eyes.
The eyes.
No, I mean, look, I don't think he is a militantly unpleasant person, but I think his view of officiating is you don't talk to the players. That's what we're talking about. I mean, and
you think it's by choice or do you think that comes from the
training?
Top?
I think it's he came up at a time when Daryl Gerritsen was the supervisor of officials, and Daryl Gerritsen was notoriously aloof with players. And I think that became the standard for officials of that era. The problem is that standard has been basically dismissed as wrong because it creates far more tension than it alleviates. And I think, you know, this is who he is, and this is who he's decided to be, and he pays for that from time to time, and he paid for it last night.
25 years he's been doing it. It's not like he's a newbie official. I mean, he's been doing this a long time.
No, he believes this is the right way to approach the job.
And if they thought he stunk at his job, he wouldn't be doing it anymore.
No. I think they like his judgment. I don't think they regard him as the best official in the league anymore.
But he's not the worst, probably,
but
right?
He's getting two finals a year. Finals games a year.
If he's getting those assignments, that means they obviously think enough of him as an official.
Oh, absolutely. No, they like him as an official, but I think there are times like this when his approach to players isn't useful. And I think Monty McCutcheon, who always had a reputation as a good guy in terms of player relations, is probably going to sit down and have a talk and say, you know what? You're burying yourself here. You got to lighten up. I know that's not the way you're comfortable doing this, but that it's the way we're going. And if you want to work 30 years, if you want to work 35, you can't be this guy all the time anymore.
All right, Gianna, this is the moment we've been waiting for.
Is it that time?
It's that time.
Hey. Drum roll, please.
Come on, Ray.
Congrats to Anthony Sloss from the North Bay. He and a guest will get to see Def Leppard. He is our winner for the Sin City Residence at the Zappos Theater inside Planet Hollywood Resort and Casino. You are also getting a two-night stay in Las Vegas hotel plus airfare. Thank you once again to Live Nation for hooking up this amazing prize for our listeners. For more info about Def Leppard, the Sin City Residency, you can check out livenation.com. So Anthony Sloss from the North Bay, congratulations. Have a good time in Vegas.
How do you know it's not my burner account?
I don't. But if it was, you probably wouldn't share that information now, would you?
I don't know. Would I?
Oh, look at you, Roxy Bernstein. You are a spy.
I'm trying to be coy here.
Yeah, cleverly done. You really hit it well.
So, no, congratulations. I want to go.
Yeah, that'd be pretty fun.
Let's go. Anthony, is that his name?
Anthony Sloss. Roxy wants to go.
And Gianna, we're all coming. We're coming with you.
We're bringing Ray, too. We'll figure it out.
Now, why ruin your fun?
What makes you think that you coming would ruin the fun?
It's Vegas.
You can't ruin the fun.
I wouldn't be going to the show.
And it's Def Leppard. Oh, now you're really the party pooper.
If you come, you have to come to the show.
Come on, Ray Ratto. So you need me to go to something you know I won't enjoy.
But see, that's
There's
the enjoyment
question,
of
by
us.
By the way, nice release.
Thank you.
See, we get to enjoy because you're not going to like it, so that makes it fun for us.
Totally.
Oh, okay. So basically, I'm just a tool for you.
You said it.
Ray. Oh,
okay, well, I just want to know what the parameters are here.
If we took care of your ticket to the concert... Your airfare.
No, Anthony's taking care of that.
Well, Anthony, too. But just say he wasn't part of the picture. But if we took care of your ticket, the airfare, and the hotel, plus meals, would you go?
No, because
it's free.
Money's not the issue.
He wants to know where we're eating first.
No, money's not the issue here. It's not something I would
but
like.
But it wouldn't cost you anything.
Didn't I just say money's not the issue?
It might cost us years off our lives.
Yeah,
but...
I could ruin your trips. I could. I've got the gift.
That's very clear.
At a rock show.
No, I like what I like. I try not to judge other people's likes. You guys should go, and you guys should have the times of your lives. Bring the families. Make it a weekend.
Make it a weekend in Vegas. Yeah.
I'm just saying that it wouldn't work for me.
I tried, Roxy. I tried.
We tried.
Why did you try, though? That's the question. Because you knew where I was going to be on this.
Well, I thought maybe you'd change your mind because we're kind of fun to hang out with. I think you've had a good last couple days here with Roxy.
Wait, do you think Ray's actually would be amused by hanging out with us?
I think so.
No, listen, going and hanging out with you guys would be fine, but it would stop short of the concert.
What if it was Carlos Santana? He's playing at the House of Blues. Oh, no, we got to pause there.
I still have the same problem, which is he's 75.
He's still got it, though.
I know he's still got it. But for me, I'm hooked on what's contemporary. And there are things that my son listens to now that I wouldn't normally listen to, but because it's what's happening now, I have a greater appreciation for it.
All right, who would you go see now?
Like what band?
I wouldn't see anybody now.
Because there's nobody that would make you want to go see a show.
No, I like to listen, but I can do that at home.
What contemporary band do you like?
Oh, no, it's just a bunch of different ones. I mean, I don't ever ask, well, what's that? What are you playing? It's just, that's good.
What if we invited Scott Foster?
Well, he wouldn't go.
How do you know?
What do you want him
He'd
to go?
He'd have to answer a question, and he doesn't answer questions.
No, I'm not.
He's going to tee you up.
He could keep doing this, but it's... That's not the way I enjoy music. I enjoyed music going out to see shows 30 years ago.
What was the last concert you went to?
Against my will and only because I love my wife, I saw the Dixie Chicks. It was not my choice of band, but she really enjoyed it.
But you enjoy the show? There.
What?
Did you enjoy the show?
I endured it.
They're talented. Whether you like that music or not, they're talented musicians and singers.
It's not my kind of music. Yeah. I don't like country music.
I'm with you.
But
I've seen them also, but again, wasn't my choice. I tried to be, this is years ago. But,
I fell on the grenade to save the platoon. I get that.
You're a good man. You're a good man.
No, I'm just physically afraid of my wife.
Well, then you're a good man.
So you've taken a lot of grenades then.
Oh, I am shrapnel with feet.
Don't all husbands take a lot of grenades?
If they want to stay husbands.
Yeah, right.
I mean, look, we get the deal. We fall asleep quicker, and you guys can hold the pillows over our faces.
True.
You
know. True.
Just who gets the television?
Well, that's why you get two.
That's why I got one in the other room.
Yeah. Yeah, see, you got the room she's never going in. And you think it's a victory, when in fact it's her victory. Because she's in the big room with the bigger TV. And her feet are up, and she knows that she doesn't have to listen to you for the next 4 hours.
Well, what was the last show that you went to that was your choice? I'm really making him think now.
Well, because it's been a while.
Albie says we only have a minute.
Albie could bite me. I think I saw The Clash.
Oh, okay.
In, was it 79? I think it was
79. Stop. That was the last time you went to a concert of your choice was 1979?
Yeah. I think that's the last one I remember.
40 years ago.
Okay,
the band
thanks,
has aged
Dad.
Out. The band has aged out.
Yeah.
According to Ray, when
but
they age
been
out,
no
he's not
But no other
in.
Act that you've wanted to see that's come through
no.
since.
No. No, there's no other act I've chosen to see. There might have been some that I'd be interested in seeing, but I just didn't go.
Like who?
Again... English Beat. Actually, okay. English Beat might have been the last band I saw.
Okay.
Okay.
I want to say that would be 82, maybe.
We're getting closer. It's only 37 years ago.
Hey, I'm sorry. I'm old. I could be dead in an hour. Give me a break.
Wrap it up, Ray.
Oh,
boy.
Wow.
Those are the words you've said all week.
We're getting right. the voice from the control room.
Where did that come from?
Wow.
Out of nowhere. From left field.
From the depths of Satan's footlocker. All right. He speaks.
Let's get it over to Gianna for an update and save us from Ray and his musical taste.
Woo! Now back to the Dame and Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
Along with Ray Ratto and Gianna.
I'm not going to make the snarky remark.
It's one to one. It's one to one. Roxy Bernstein with you in for a vacationing. Damon Bruce.
He's in Mexico.
Wrapping up the week. I'm not a big Mexico guy.
Really?
Not.
He's out there to see fish.
I know. And more power to him. I'm not a fish guy. No.
Well, you're allergic to it, for one.
But not the band.
But the band.
This is with a PH.
Oh.
Not the F-I-S-A. The P-F, you know.
The band fish.
Yeah,
I
wouldn't. I'm just not into that.
I'm not, it's not for everyone.
It's not. And more power to Damon.
Damon loves that.
Yes, he does.
Oh, my God.
Yes, he does. And more power to Bryce Harper, who still has everybody kind of on the edge of their seat. We're on.
Does he?
Harper watch. I think there's, yeah.
I think people are sick to death of this.
There's no question they are.
I mean, I think.
Everybody wants him to make a decision. Where are you going to go?
No, I think it's more than that. I think they can't figure out, you know, why this isn't easy for him. And the obvious answer, which is that Scott Boras is still trying to drum up either more bidders or better
more
offers.
Money. Yeah. He might not have anything close to the offer that he wants. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, you know, and the truth is every new update we get is the same update from 3 days ago. I definitely think there's Harper fatigue. And I think when he finally announces where he's going, I don't think either place that he decides to go, wherever that is going to be as thrilled as they would have been a week ago.
What we do know is the Phillies are involved. We think the Giants are still involved. Are the White Sox involved?
They don't seem to be giving off that vibe. I mean, they were more irritated that Machado.
But now that they struck out on Machado.
Yeah, that they're more bothered by that than they are engaged with Harper.
Are the Dodgers involved?
I think San Diego might be involved.
Well, and that appears to be the latest rumor is after they got Machado, who was going to play third base, where he said all along he wanted to be a shortstop until the Padres gave him the most money and said, all right, I'll play third.
Yeah. I mean, the problem, though, is that when somebody says, reports are that the Padres are talking about, you know, getting involved with Harper. You never know if that's Scott Boras whispering in somebody's ear.
Oh, yeah. Just trying to jack up the price even more.
And it's one of the great frustrations I have with the rumor mill is that I get why you don't name your sources because you won't have them. You won't get your information anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know you're getting played to one extent or another. So if I'm a reader and I'm going, well, here is somebody getting played. I'm not going to be that interested in what his news is. And I'm almost at the point where I'm just going, don't tell me where you think he might go. I don't care where he might go. Tell me where he's going. Give me that report. I'm not interested in the teases anymore.
My feeling is, and look, I don't know any more than anybody else. My feeling is he doesn't want to go to Philadelphia. I don't know why. I don't know why I had that feeling, but I would think that if he wanted to be in Philly, he'd be there by now. Now, that's such a hitter-friendly ballpark, too. He'd put up ridiculous numbers if he was to sign with the Phillies and for 81 games got to play at Citizens Bank Park there in Philadelphia.
Okay, but I'm not convinced that it's him that doesn't want to play in Philly.
Is it Boras doesn't want him there?
I think Boras wants to see if he can get something either more out of Philly or another team involved who will make Philly's offer have to become better. Because there really isn't if he wanted to sign with San Francisco, so I'll use the same logic. If he wanted to sign here, he'd sign here. But clearly there's something about the Giants' offer he doesn't like.
Well, the reports were that
he
wants a long-term deal, and reportedly the Giants weren't willing to give him a long-term deal.
Well, if they weren't willing to give him a long-term deal, then there's no point in their being involved anymore. And yet all we hear is that they're still involved.
Did they reconsider? Were they willing to give him more years? Who knows? But for some reason, here we are getting to the late stages of February, and he's still on side. Camps are open. We're going to have major league games. The A's are going to play in Japan in less than a month from now.
Wow.
J.D. Martinez signed on the 26th of February last year.
Okay.
I think they are not viewing this as they've reached a drop dead date yet. But everything from the outside is that this is the last big name to get.
No, Dallas Keuchel's still out there. Craig Kimbrell's still out there.
The last big name. They're big names for his baseball people, but in terms
Keuchel's won a Cy Young.
But in terms of moving the market, there's only Harper left. Whatever Keuchel gets is not going to be contingent on what anybody else gets, because I don't think he's a guy who helps slot the position. Harper helps slot the position. That's what I'm talking about. It's not a question of whether Keuchel is or is not an impact pitcher.
Harper is the biggest name. He's the biggest, but there's still other big names.
As the biggest name,
yeah,
he slots that position. He slots the outfield position. You know, he's not quite Giancarlo Stanton, but he is the second most appealing guy who's on the market. Now, next year, Mike Trout will slot the market. That's the thing. It's Harper slotting a position. Keuchel is not. Kimbrell's not.
Well, the other thing we do know about the situation, Mark Lerner, the owner of the Nationals, earlier today, and here's his stance, and so I guess we can rule the Nationals out.
Nothing's really changed on our end. We've moved on, as I said back then, and we had to. There was no way we could wait around. And Bryce, I'm sure, will make his decision hopefully in the next few days. But we filled out our roster. Like I said, we wish him nothing but the best. But, you know, there's always that the door's cracked a little bit. But I have no clue at this point what they're up to. I mean, we really haven't heard from them in a couple of months.
That's courtesy of NBC Sports Washington, owner of the Nationals, Mark Lerner, talking about, well, he has no indication that they're still involved, that they are out of the Bryce Harper situation.
Yeah.
And at least until Scott Boras picks up a phone and says.
Well, but remember a week ago, you know, Andy McPhail was making noises like they were done too. And within 2 days, everybody said they're the favorites to get him. So that might be a ploy as well.
Who do you think is the favorite?
I think Philly's still the favorite. But I don't think Boras is done playing the cards he thinks he has in his hand yet.
Is he just playing it for more money? Is that all it is? Is he trying that it they decided be, they want to be in Philadelphia, they're just trying to squeeze more out of the Phillies?
It might very well be that he would like to see if there's another team involved, because the more teams involved, the more choice his client gets. I don't know what the Phillies' latest offer is, but Boras's job is to figure out the moment that it looks like the best offer is about to go off the table and act shortly before then. I mean, that's the trick he's trying to pull off here. And because he has far more information about this than anything that he's letting on to anybody or that anybody else can figure out independently, that's where we're at.
All right, so it's the Phillies. Are the front runners. The Giants are still in the race, it appears. The Dodgers, the Padres could be trying to jump in after getting Machado.
The Dodgers don't seem to be.
I mean, who else could we be looking at for Bryce Harper? The White Sox?
I don't know.
Who else?
The White Sox have indicated no interest.
Okay. So it's just then the Phillies and the Giants?
Well,
the Dodgers,
I mean,
maybe?
No, but what I'm trying to say is, I mean, the Cubs went through this ridiculous rigmarole the other day that they didn't have any more money.
But, which is a crock.
Which is an absolute crock. What if Scott Boras called the Cubs and say, we can go 8-240 for you guys. Are you interested? All of a sudden, are the Cubs interested? Maybe.
But I thought they didn't have any money.
Well, but they do have money. And all of a sudden, if you wave Bryce Harper in front of them, I mean, because they're kind of flatlined as a team right now. They have tons of talent, but there isn't that same vibe about them that there was when they won the title. They were the hot young team in baseball then. Now they don't seem to be that.
Are there any other possibilities then for teams?
Well, let's rule out the teams that would never spend the money for anybody.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, and you can cross the Yankees out because they're set.
Well, but, you know, who knows? Hal Steinbrenner might get drunk and decide, you know what? This will become a mega team again. I don't think they would do that.
Look, I know you could find a spot for Bryce Harper, but...
Yeah, but, I mean, Milwaukee might. You know, Mark Antanasio will spend some money.
Will he spend that much money?
They haven't been cheap lately. I mean, they've been players on a lot of people. But, you know, I'm just throwing darts, which is what anybody's doing.
I am. I'm just throwing the Boston Red Sox wouldn't appear to have a need for him. They've got a terrific outfield to begin with.
Yeah, no,
they're covered at DH.
Yeah. No, I don't think the
Mets.
They have the wherewithal, but I don't think the interest. The Mets don't have the wherewithal because they have no money. I mean, that team, how they haven't declared bankruptcy yet is beyond me.
What about a team like Atlanta? I know they're not spending money recently, but could he be a guy that pushes them to the top?
Well, the advantage
with the young talent they have?
He would make them the best team in the division. They'd be better than Philly. They'd be better than Washington. And the Mets and Marlins, you don't have to worry about. Is that enough for that market? I mean, they still have the honeymoon of the new ballpark.
Right.
So it's not like he can cram 15,000 more people in there every night. I mean, they're still going to draw fine. They could, because nobody doesn't have money. They all have money to do this if they want to. This is a matter of will. And I think part of the problem with the Giants, other than the fact that, you know, it's a bad team and a park that's going to depress his numbers, is that they don't want to go 10-300.
Can they afford to?
They can afford anything they want.
Can they afford not to because they got to fill that ballpark?
They may decide that that is less important than maintaining the path they're on with a new head of baseball operations who isn't inclined to throw that kind of money around. Because if Bryce Harper signs in San Francisco, it's because Larry Bear wanted it, not because Farhan Zaidi said, that's a guy who can make us a contender.
Well, this report just in from NBC Sports Philadelphia and Jim Salisbury, a source in Las Vegas tells me that Phillies owner John Middleton's plane is on the ground in that city.
Mm-hmm.
Vegas, of course, is Bryce Harper's hometown. No other details, but talks clearly ongoing, unless he's out trying to get tickets for Def Leppard.
Well, there aren't anymore.
I'm guessing he is there for Bryce Harper. Yeah, that's my guess.
Yeah, when the owner is coming to make the pitch, then you know it's...
Serious?
It's cutting time. Because the owner doesn't have to clear anything with anybody. And he could just say, this is the offer.
So if the owner is in Philadelphia, you think, or from Philadelphia, is in Vegas, you think things are progressing?
It means that he's interested enough to finally get this done.
So Philadelphia, stepping it up, could be, we may have news. When do you expect this to be done? I mean, here we are sitting in late February, and February 22nd. And Bryce Harper still has not signed. And you alluded to, okay, J.D. Martinez didn't sign late in February last year. But when will this get done?
April 11th.
No, I have a feeling it'll get done before then.
No,
it's well past opening day.
It's gonna happen sooner.
I think the date, it's been pretty clear. And you know, we've talked about it earlier this week, is that people are getting signed later and later. John Smoltz brought it up the other
mm-hmm.
day. And that, you know, the idea that they're there for the start of spring training is no longer written in stone. So it's almost not a matter of when, except for our own ability to be patient, which I suspect is already at its end. But if John Middleton gets him done in 2 days, nobody will make a single noise about it happening on February 23rd. It won't matter. So to me, it's not the date that it gets done. It's who it gets done with, what the deals are, what the deal is, how many outs are in the contract, and most importantly, how this would change the balance of power in the National League.
Philly's clear front runners if they get him.
In the East, yeah.
I mean, with the Kershaw news today, in case you missed it, he's been shut down indefinitely.
That's something we haven't talked about yet, yes.
So that clearly hampers the Dodgers in their rotation.
Very much so.
So would this anoint the Phillies as the team to beat in the National League should they sign Bryce Harper?
I still like Milwaukee a lot.
Yeah.
And don't forget, the Phillies fell off in the second half. So, you know, I could easily see where...
But this clearly changes the dynamic of the Phillies if they land
Harper.
It changes
the dynamic of the Phillies. It changes the nature of the NL East.
I mean, they got McCutchen, Segura's now in Philly. And if you add Harper to that group with the young talent that they have...
Well, they're clearly throwing in right now.
Oh, they're throwing down the gauntlet saying we're in.
But that doesn't necessarily mean they are the best team.
I mean, I still love the Dodgers lineup.
Yeah.
I mean, even though it's altered considering the big trade they made with Cincinnati.
Well, are you ready for a rotation in which there's only one dominant pitcher, and that would be Buehler, and he's only coming off one big year.
But you can see, Ray, he's going to be a guy for a long time that's going to be a problem for the National League West.
If his arm stays, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the problem. Look, they don't have...
I mean, and then you don't know about Kershaw, obviously, with him getting shut down right now.
Well, okay. Let's say if he is going to make all his starts,
okay,
he's no longer an 8 or 9 inning guy. He's certainly not even a 7 inning guy.
He's a 6 inning guy probably at this point. Yeah. He's not the pitcher that he was.
So the question becomes, how much longer can they ride Kenley Jansen as their closer? Their setup guys are not particularly impressive.
No, they're not bad. I mean, Maeda and Baez. Floro had a really good year last year.
Well, I think Maeda's going to end up in the rotation.
Well, especially if Kershaw's out for a little bit.
Well, I think he's marked in the rotation then now as the five.
Instead of Stripling?
Yeah.
Because Ryu's in the rotation. Rich Hill's going to be there until he gets a blister.
Yeah, well, that'll be April 11th.
Walker Buehler is, to me...
Walker Buehler is the ace.
He's become the ace of that staff.
Yeah. So, I mean, to me, you know, the Dodgers... right now are probably still the best team. But the second best team is San Diego if they get a pitcher.
What about Colorado?
Don't buy them.
They were pretty good last year.
Yeah, but I think they overachieved a little bit. I think there's some regression coming there.
They've got players that have a proven track record, Ray. It's not just Arenado. But you look at Charlie Blackmon.
Yeah, but they're moving Blackmon to another position, and he did not have a good year last year by his standards.
No. But then Trevor Story. They brought in Daniel Murphy. They got some solid... I mean, Ian Desmond, okay, he's not great, but he can still be a force in a lineup, and he's still a guy you got to pitch to. They've got guys in that lineup, and of course, the home field advantage they have of playing in Denver. I'd give them the edge over San Diego.
But I'm not in love with them, and quite honestly...
But it's crazy as it sounds.
After Kyle Freeland...
Oh, I like Herman Marcus. I like him.
He goes up and down for
me. But, I mean, John Gray seemed to find it again toward the latter half of the year last year.
Yeah, Tyler Anderson and Antonio Senzatella, they're pieces.
And they spent a lot of money on their bullpen last year, and that underachieved.
Wade Davis may be pitched out.
It's clear to me the Giants are the worst team in the division.
Oh, yeah.
Very clear.
But that was going to be clear no matter what.
But if they sign Harper, does that still make them the worst team in the division? No.
Yes, it does.
You think so?
I don't think their pitching's good enough. Nearly good. It's not even close to good enough. And they're still going to have to win with pitching and defense.
Yeah.
Because Harper, in and of himself, isn't going to generate so many more runs that he will make five other guys in that order better.
And according to reports, the Giants lost out on another possible free agent. Marwin Gonzalez took a 2-year deal with the Twins.
Yeah. And the Twins aren't exactly contending for anything. So, no, I think that, you know, the Giants on paper and only on paper really only have assets behind home plate and at shortstop. Right.
You don't like the second baseman?
I think the second baseman is, I think he's hitting his sell-by date. I mean, he didn't have, I don't think they're in love with him anymore. I don't think they view him the same way that he was viewed 2 years ago. And the wild card in all of this is that Farhan Zaidi looks at players differently than Brian Sabian did.
But the thing is,
and there's no way of knowing who he actually really values. I think he values Posey for obvious reasons.
Sure.
I think he values Crawford for obvious reasons.
Okay.
But I don't think he looks at the... What?
Does he value Belt?
I don't know why he would. I mean, the problem I have with Belt is, you know, he doesn't stay healthy, but that's not his fault. But he plays in a position where you should be able to drive the ball better than he does. And he's playing in a
ballpark. But he walks a lot. Zaidi loved that.
Not from a first baseman. He's going to... He wants somebody to drive the ball. And right now, this lineup has nobody who can do that.
But the Giants have a desperate need for him, for Harper. Because
yes,
you look at this outfield. I mean, what guy out there that says, oh, well, I like this outfield with Chris Shaw, Steven Duggar, Mack Williamson, Austin Slater, Gerardo Parra, Cameron Maben?
No.
What, I mean, that's your outfield right now.
Yes, it's an awful outfield. Everybody agrees with that. The point is...
So why wouldn't you be all in on Harper?
Well, then why aren't they?
I don't know. I'd like to know.
Well, because...
Who's to say they're not trying to go all in, and maybe he just doesn't want to come here?
Well, then it doesn't matter. I mean, because I've always thought that from day one, if the Giants really wanted Harper, they were going to have to be prepared to overpay. And I think it's clear that they're not willing to overpay.
Did the Padres overpay? To get Machado.
Did they overpay to get Machado? Mm-hmm. No, because I think they believe that he's the piece with their young guys coming up that they can all of a sudden be the dominant team in that division for a few years.
They're a couple years away, probably.
And metrically, I think Machado is considered a better player than Harper.
Yeah, but my eyes tell me something different.
Okay, well... Most general managers aren't relying on
your eyes or theirs. I just have a problem with the player that admits they dog it. I have a big problem
with
that.
It's not your eyes that bother you. It's your ears. No, and I'm not trying to be...
No, but I see him dog it, too. It's no, not just not I hear him say
I'm,
it.
But I'm not,
I see him dog it.
But I'm not... And I'm not trying to be snotty about that. But if that is your visceral reaction to him...
He's a terrific player. He is.
Okay. Then what you don't like... is the perception that he has provided you that he's not going to try hard all the time.
And I got a problem with giving a guy $300 million or whatever the Padres gave him, who's going to admit that they're not going to give you it all the time, that they're going to dog it. I just got a problem with handing over that much. Well, it's not my money, but...
Well, okay, by that definition, Bryce Harper was taken out of games a couple of times for not running out of ground
ball. That's
true.
That's very true.
Nobody's marking him as a dog that way.
No.
What you're really reacting to is Machado saying it. And that to me, that's not dispositive of a guy you don't
want.
He's
just honest.
You know, to me, I think they signed him and they made it clear, you are our guy. Period. You have to show everybody else in this clubhouse how this has to be done.
But see, I got a problem with him being the focal point of a clubhouse when a guy admits that he dogs it from time to time.
Okay, but decisions are made not on that visceral reaction, but they're made on the metrics. And the metrics for Machado are very, very good. They're better than Harper's metrics.
Speaking of handing over money, Robert Kraft got into trouble. In case you missed the news,
A segue for the
ages. I tried. Somehow I tried to get it over there. Patriots owner Robert Kraft involved in some stuff he shouldn't have been involved in. That's straight ahead. Damon Bruce Show, 95.7 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.